False Peter. Peteru kini ori ori what's one? Ori kini ese keson. First Peter 1 verse 9. So there's some key things to understand in the Bible. Some very key things. Very key things. Amen, amen. Amen. First Peter 1 verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They testify beforehand. So, Moses saw this beforehand. He wrote it beforehand. What Moses saw was not what has happened. It is what will happen. Everything you saw is what will happen. What will happen in Christ? This is how sin will be. This is how faith will be. Sufferings of Christ, the glory that will follow. This is what obedience will be. This is what will be called unbelief, all in Christ. So, verse 12, unto whom was he revealed? Not unto themselves, but unto us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, let's talk about three key things that are important in what you see in the Bible. Three things that are important for Bible comprehension. Three things you must be acquainted with for Bible comprehension. Or, why the Bible is the way it is. It's better that way. Three key things. Why is the Bible the way it is? Three key things. Why is the Bible the way it is? Firstly, there is the knowledge of the speaker, the prophet. The knowledge of the speaker, which is the prophet. The knowledge of the speaker, which is the prophet. You know, they were ranked. They were ranked. That's Matthew 10. The knowledge of the speaker, the prophets. That means some prophets, they spoke clearer than others. Okay? Some were clearer. Some were more direct. Some were clearer. The knowledge of the speaker. So like Matthew 11 verse 11. Let me be honest with you. I have just 4 parts to go. 4 more parts. I'm done. How today? I'm done. Just four. So, Matthew 11, verse 11. So, we have done 2, Abby. 4 to go. Not 2, 2 to go. 2 done. 4 to go. So, Matthew 11, verse 11. Verily, 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 I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, why was John called the greatest? Pastor Joe has taught you. Clarity. Awesome. Clarity. Clarity. Even Sister Okwe small, even knew it. Sorry, Sister Okwe big. That's Okwe small. It's Okwe big. The clarity of the message. When other messengers are saying he's coming, he will be like a branch, he will be like, John just say, sim. Now him be this. Here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God. Take it away the sin of the world. The clarity. The clarity. So, secondly, we have the risk. Okay, no, under that clarity right now, it's the there is a lot of intelligence therein. Okay? Okay, what did I just finish telling you? Remember back again to Genesis. Remember, God will, when God will first be speaking, first get this before you write it down. When God will first be speaking, which one should I use? When God will first speak, there is no consequence attached. That's Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. When Jesus first recruited that scripture, he didn't add the day of the vengeance of our God. But later, right, after they rejected him, he now added the day of vengeance of our God. And he's using it to say the same thing. I said he's using it to teach God's love from a consequence view. So therefore, think about it. You know, John will say in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So, when the prophets will use lamp, what is a lamp? A lamp, like Pastor Joy explained some a while ago, is at least an animal that is assumed not to be too stubborn, right? That is a lamp. So that means when we are saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," that means a lamp will be something, an animal that will follow you willingly, right? So when we use lamp for Jesus, that means we are discussing salvation as God's will. See, we are discussing it from God's view or from the view of love. Awesome. We are discussing salvation from love view. You get that? We are discussing salvation from love view. But when we use goat, same Jesus again, when we now use goat, that's Leviticus 16, the two goats that you drag to the temple, that one is scapegoat and the one goat of the Lord. What is a goat? Stubborn. An animal that you have to drag. So a goat, so when we are discussing the sacrifice in Christ as a goat, that is discussing salvation from sin view. That is from rot view. From the view of man's sin. The first one in using a lamp from the view of what? God's love. Using a goat from the view of man's sin. And the same man, Moses, he will use it too. Amen? From the view of God's love, from the view of man's rejection. The same sacrifice of Christ. Same sacrifice of Christ. So, that is where you now see intelligence in the prophets. Intelligence. That's Moses. Intelligence. You will see how they will. That's why if you are just rushing, you just see, okay, goat is an animal, sheep is an animal, animal. They all died. No, you are missing the point. Praise God. So that means there is an intelligence with which they wrote. So I cannot just rush read what we call the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. What I love to call it, henceforth, the first books of the Bible. It's better that way. Genesis to Malachi should best be called the first books of the Bible. So you should not rush read it. Pay attention. Pay attention. See the consequence. See how it came in. Both of them talking about the same message. Love view, sin view. So that is where you see the intelligence of the prophets. As a prophet, they differ from prophets. You see Jonah, for instance, now you just say, okay, 3 days, 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And when after Nineveh repented, what did the guy do? He was vexing. Why, God, why will you forgive them? I know you are a merciful God. Why will you send me on this type of endeavor? That's a prophet, but a small one. Amen. That means you are willing to declare the wrath. You are not willing for the reconciliation to happen. Okay, so number two, we also have the receptability. Hope that is correct. Yes, of the audience. You need to give me a better grammar. Receptability. Any better grammar for that? Talk now. Bumi, help me, Jerry. You're a blogger. Don't follow my handle. Huh? Comprehension. No, comprehension is... Comprehension is like intelligence. But recept. Acceptance, okay. So you give me a blog in English. I'll close down your blog now. Okay. So the receptability of the audience. See Matthew 19, for instance. Matthew 19, verse 7. Receptability of the audience. Matthew 19, verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. From the beginning it was not so. So that means he's saying Moses wrote it this way because of the hardness of your heart. Because of the hardness of your heart. That's Matthew 19 now. You should know that. Matthew 19, that's verse 7 to 8. Because of the hardness of your heart. So he's saying Moses wrote it this way because of you. That means at times the audience, pay attention, will determine how it is written. The type of people we are talking to, it will also determine how the word is written. Then, number three, we have documentation and translation. Documentation and translation. Some people, some documentation, we say Mary is a virgin. Some will say Mary is just a young lady. Some will say, some translation. They will say, like NIV, NLT, message, very terrible. It's just water than everything. So that's not really, you won't even see the, when you read, but you read KJV. KJV, ask it, receive it. Receive it. Before, most of us used to read KJV. I remember my Bible then in secondary school. It's not RSV, I don't know what to use. RSV, that's what we use. Reverse standard. Reverse standard. Oh, finally. But it seems here small ask it, receive it. Small, too. So, but later we now say, oh, NIV, NLT. Ah. Very soon, message, apocrypha. So it's not, translation. So translation also matters, okay? So that is why we usually do, why do we do all those Greek words, everything, so that we can minimize the errors in translation. Are you with me? Why do we do Greek words? Everything is not because, like me, if you know me, that I don't even know Greek. In English, I don't know very well. I don't talk of start proving that I know Greek. We have people who are students of Greek. I honor them, the OTP of the Lord. Sorry, that one is a student of Hebrew, Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrews, Neo, in Greek, and Aramaic, and all those things. So, to minimize the errors in translation, that's why we use Greek words. Okay, even at times the Greek words are not accurate, you now have to judge from context, which we are going to do again today. So, Matthew 13, verse 10. So these are the things that determines what is written. Matthew 13, now verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you speaking unto them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Wow! Pay attention right now. Please don't trip off today. You have a long way to go. So it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Who can tell me? How is it given to them? Because Jesus is speaking to them. What? You have not said it properly. Something is still missing. What is the ticket to know the mystery of the kingdom of God? What do you say, sister? Discipleship. Discipleship. Very funny. Now, the question would now be, how many people would God love to know him, that they should know him? All men. So how many people will God love that they become disciples? Is that serious? But he's saying it is not enough. He's saying in 1 Timothy chapter 2, say we will have all men to be saved, right? And then to come to the knowledge of the truth. That means God will have all men to be students of the world. Students of God's word. All men to be disciples. God will have all men saved and to be assured of it. All men. So God's plan is that all be disciples. So again, who are the disciples? Men who have submitted their will. Men who have submitted their will to know and to do God's will. To know God and to do His will. Men who submitted their own rights, who submitted their own will so that they can know God's will, so that they can do God's will. So that they can know God's will, so that they can do God's will. Those are disciples. Those are disciples, not just figurehead. People who have submitted their will to know and to do God's will. So verse 12 right now. Matthew 13 now verse 12. For whosoever asks, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever asks not, from him shall be taken away, even that he asks. Explain this every day. So that means increase is a function of proper learning, proper hearing. Oh, but that's increase. Increase is a function of proper hearing. Decrease is a function of poor hearing. Poor. Whosoever acts, we have judged that from Mark, from the account of Mark, that what he is to have is a proper hearing. And what the people who became worse, what they don't have is a good hearing. They are hearing, but they are not hearing very well. So the little appreciation they have before, it will be taken away. They become worse off. So verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. Why? Hello? Okay, let's go back again. The people, what is the meaning of poor hearing? Feel free. Anytime you have a long service, long sermon, that means you will not deliberately, for your sake and for my sake, you deliberately, if it's even fake, you just be putting up a smiling countenance. Amen? Even if it's a fake smile, I don't care. Just ensure you are cheerful. Okay? Because we must continue. Amen? Amen. You don't do like, even, I don't, if fake is allowed, just say, in your be saying, wala deo. It's okay, baby. I don't need your sincere smile. I just need your sincere. Sorry, joking. Okay, so what's the question? What is the meaning of poor hearing? Ma?
You are not listening.
Yes? Not paying? Eh? Not paying attention. Brian, eh? Yes? You are hearing, but your heart is not what? No. Your heart is not. You are almost there. Your heart is what your heart do to what you are hearing. Agreement is the end. What should you do with your heart? What did Pastor Joy taught you last week? Meditate, reason, right? So he's saying, okay, because these people they are hearing, but they are not. But they are not reasoning. So what did I do? I spoke to them in parables. What does a parable do? It will force you, almost force, compel you, right? Who remember, who has lived with grammar before? Not your mom, that grammar. Your mom does not tell story. Hope you know such cautious now. After our age, it's gone. It's gone. Sad. Oh God. I'll go to Emureki then. And we teach her, we snap saddle down. Alan Tereo, Bami Lokum. Like, very funny. Just all those old songs. Are they all those poetry, like Yoruba? They are very folktales. Oh God. So, at times you hear that. Or just like, okay, at least, and we have some of them even in our old primary school English. Remember the story of tortoise and the dancing tree? Remember the race between the tortoise and the dog? Okay, I know you are born. Okay, 2007. You just read Macmillan. What is Macmillan? A mosaic. So, you know, that race shows how a dog and a tortoise want to run a race. And is it tortoise? Huh? Bush rabbit. Okay, yeah, they want to run a race. No, the one I heard was a dog, though, because... So how did the tortoise win him? So he put his families on the road, right? So now he's distracted. So, but like when I heard of, the tortoise went to hide a bone on the racetrack. I didn't know if you remember that one. So, so as that one rush, just yeah, he smells bone. He's distracted, thick bone. So tortoise as just going slowly. You see, crush the finish line ahead of. So now, when you read things like that, what will it force you to do? To think that, wow. So therefore, of course, then when we are someone, we don't think, we just yay. But you know, if God sits you down and he's telling you that type of story, you know you're in soup. That means you must really think. I mean, as grown up as you are, it's okay to kids. But when a grown up man is being told fuck tales, that means something is behind the scene, though. Pay attention. Are you with me, brethren? So, like, that means the story is to teach something else. It will force you to reflect. That means the use of parable is part of the appeal of God. It yet depicts the mercy of God. They are already rejecting. They don't want me. What do I do in response? Let me speak to them how? In parables, in form of illustration. That's why Moses will now use temple clothes. It's for them to think there is an outer court. Okay? There is an inner court. There is a holiest of holies that is assumed that only God dwells. When you see that, what should you think about? You think about the core of man. Sorry? Outer, the body, the soul, the spirit. Where does God live? In the spirit. That's one thing. Where does the sacrifice get offered? In the holiest of holies. So, where will God offer his sacrifice? On the cross or in the spirit of man? On the spirit of man. That's how we read from Hebrews 10 that God has applied, he has applied his blood where? On your hearts. Amen. Praise God. So when you read things like that, figurative, don't get carried away. You just reflect. Okay, so what is he saying? What does this mean? What will he mean for the same person that was called a lamp yesterday to be called a ghost today? What is he talking about? Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's why parables are used. It's for you to think on God's word. Think on it. Reflect on it. Meditate on it. Think on it. Think deeply. Because what man is not doing initially is not thinking. Now, you will be compelled to think by the use of parables. It's not because it's just to make it easier for the truth to be received. So, I'm seeing Matthew 13. So, 13 now, therefore I speak to them in parables because they seeing, they see not, hearing they hear, neither they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing they hear and shall not understand, seeing they see, they shall not perceive. So, for their heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they are closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and they should understand with their hearts, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Amen? And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear, and have not heard them. So, saying the disciples, they have express communication, clarity. So, to the man with a meek heart, to a man that is ready to receive God's word, he speaks straight away. That's the use of parables. It's not complex. It's just for to cause man to reflect, to think. Say, God has shed his blood on my heart. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus did not offer his blood in physical temples. You can see it again. That's Hebrews 10. Never forget that. Anytime you are carried away with, you have read the story of Passion of the Cross, and you have seen that Jesus was on the tree. Oh God, you are seeing Jesus far away. You are not seeing his sacrifice on your heart. You are not seeing it on your heart. See Hebrews 10. Somebody say, ow. Yes, that's why we have our Jesus. It's not for your exam. We can do that next week. But that gospel conversation must come first. But don't worry, I won't start tomorrow. I need to rest. Hebrews 10. Where do we have it there? There should be verse 20. No, verse is 20. 20. 19. I'm coming. Yeah, 19. Yeah. Coming. Sorry, I'm in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 9. It's Hebrews 9. Okay, from verse 11. Thank you, sir. Oh, it's better we even read from. Are you there? I'm sure your neighbor is there. Are we all there? Okay, from verse 1 is better. Well, then, verily, the first covenant has had ordinances of a divine service, a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made first, wherein was a candlestick, the table, physical things, shew bread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle is called the holiest of all. Okay, see, holiest of all. So, which are the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid with gold, which was the golden pot, which had manna, according to Aaron's brother, budded, and the tables of the covenant. Where is all these things? In the holiest of all. Those commandments of God, where are they? In the holiest of all. The things that God will once done, where are they? In the holiest of all. Verse 5, and over the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once. Say once. Yes. Say once. Once every year. This is just to talk about once forever. Okay, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Why? As the first tabernacle was yet standing. What's the meaning of that? That means when all those time, the real sacrifice has not been offered. That is why no man can receive the Spirit. The way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. It was not yet clear. See verse 9. Which was a what? Say figure. For the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to where? The conscience, which stood only in means, drinks, diverse forcing, carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Verse 11, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater, hallelujah, and a more perfect, not made with, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, of goats, calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once, say once, into the holy, you see, he didn't say once every year, his own is once forever, once, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls, of goats, the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14. Slowly, want to go? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge from dead works to serve? So, where did God purge? Say, my heart. Yeah, that's the sacrifice of Christ. And For this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Oh, for a testament is of force after meaning that death, otherwise it is of no strength while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses has spoken every precept unto the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wood and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 23. Slowly, you want to go? It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this, and the heavenly things. What are the heavenly things? The heart of man. See the next verse. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into where? God's dwelling, heaven. Where is heaven? Where God will stay. Where is God staying? On the rock or in your heart? Are you with me? Into heaven itself, yeah? Now to manifest, remember I explained this to you, the presence of God for us. Where did I explain that? Who could remember? Is that people of God? Our Jesus. Oh, awesome. So it's not saying I am going there to appear for God. Oh, he's manifesting God's presence for you. Ooh. Glory, glory. Not yet that he should have offered himself often as the high priest enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others, but for this, for them must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to what? Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Because it is written that appointed unto men to die once, after that judgment, written for Christ. So Christ was once offered for the sins of many. And unto them that look unto him for sin, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen, amen. By the time you now read into chapter 10, it will now tell you, it now start going down from verse 10, by the which we were sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus once and for all. Every priest standeth daily offering often times the same sacrifice that cannot take away sin. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. By one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. 15, let's read, yes. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Hallelujah. That's the point. That's the point. The Holy Ghost is a witness. 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 Now said, by verse 20, by new, say let us, 19, let us therefore, brethren, with boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way of him, which he had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true what? Heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from hand and our bodies washed with. So, where did God purge our hearts? Where was the sacrifice offered? On our hearts. What is the meaning? It means that what he did on the cross is symbolic of what he is doing in your heart. That physical cross you saw is not the end game. The end game is the communication of that event to your heart. That is why the preaching of the gospel is as important as the sacrifice of Christ. Sorry, I know I'm fast. Try and write, sorry. The preaching is as important as the sacrifice. If he died and no one said it, nobody will be saved.
Because the preaching is a communication to the heart of men that Jesus died for your sin. It's a communication. Ooh, okay.
Back to 2 Timothy 3:16. The blood of Christ has been shed on your hearts. Why are you in church today? Why are you here learning God's word, hearing God's word? The blood of Christ has been shed on your hearts. Amen, amen. The appeal of God came to you and you never said no. Oh, glory to God. You saw God's love. Everything you saw, he said God demonstrated his love to us, commended his love to us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means his death is to show his love. So, what do you receive? Do you receive a man on the cross or you receive the love of God? The love of God. So, that hanging is a communication. Is a communication of love. Of love. That love is now what will now change man's action from rebellion to the gift of grace. I've missed appeal of God, our Jesus, everything. Jungle it together for you like that. Well done. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16. We should be done before 4. Depending on how the wind go. If the wind go this way, done by 4. If the wind goes the other way, done by 8. Anyone? No, tomorrow is another. Let's preach and the Bible wrong today. Now tomorrow, now I enter the house of Satan. Something like that. Joking. Okay, so God's word to the unbeliever can be rephrased for the believer. Write that down. I'm coming. Because God's word is one and the same. That's the point. God's word is one and the same. So that God's word to the unbeliever, it can be rephrased for the believer. Why? God's word is one and the same. Same word that changes the unbeliever grows up the believer. Same word of God that changes the unbeliever. That is the same thing that grows up the believer. Same word. Saw that in Acts 20, right? 28:32. No, for the sake of those who have not seen it. Acts 20. Same word that changes, that made you born again. That's what grows you up. So you don't say, I am born again, then I don't need to hear God's word again. No, you hear God's word for salvation, then you also hear God's word for spiritual growth, to grow up in the Lord, to progress in the Lord. The same word. God kept everything in the same events. Same word. Acts 20, 28. Take it therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Then verse 32, he now says, and now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, all them that are sanctified. So God's word is able to build you up. God's word builds you up. 2 Timothy 3:16. God's word to the unbeliever is the word of God that saves, is the word of God that grows. It's the same thing. There may just be a rephrasing, but it's the same thing. See 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture that is given for salvation in verse 15, but it says from Isaiah, you have known the scripture, it's able to make you wise unto salvation. 16 now said, scripture is same to the scripture. Now the graphic, the entire thing is by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Next verse. So that the man of God may be perfect. Is it tell us or matured? Matured, made ready for ministry. Matured, made ready for ministry. Made ready for ministry. So same word given for faith is also given for growth. Same word given for faith is also given for growth. Same word given for faith is also given for growth. So, how do I get this now from the first books of the Bible? That's what we call the Old Testament, from the first books of the Bible. How do I get this from the first books of the Bible, the Old Testament? There will be a change of tenses. A change of tenses. A rephrasing. Change of tenses. A rephrasing. How did I get this from the Old Testament, from the first books of the Bible? There will be a change of tenses.
Because don't forget, the audience is part of the reason why the word was written like that.
I've told you, the audience is part of the reason why you have the word written like that. The audience, their receptability, their disposition. So to some of them, he used parables. Some of them, he emphasizes the judgment demand. Speaking from consequence angle. Exodus 19 now, verse 6. Well done. Exodus 19, verse 6. Exodus 19, verse 6. Same word that grows you up, saved you. Same word. 19, verse 6. Let's read. And you shall be unto me. Okay, I wait for you. Don't forget, fake smile. It's allowed. Fake smile. Come on, fake smile everywhere. Come on, start to laugh. You want smile? Yeah, fake smile. I should force you. I say, make it fake. From the fake, I will see the original. Amen. Return your fake smile very well. Fake smile, Henry T. Fake smile. You don't have it. Thank you. 19 verse 6. Let's read. Want to go? It shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the sheep. So see that? Say, you shall be unto me, right? So see how Peter puts this in 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Moses said, you shall be unto me. You will be unto me a kingdom of priests. You will be unto me. Well, how did Peter put his own when he's not talking to believers? 2 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, okay? You are a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. So, Moses said, you will be, right? Peter said, you are. Same scripture, right? Different tenses. Same scripture, different tenses. And 2 Peter 2, verse 9, from Exodus 19, verse 6. So that means Peter simply wrote from Exodus and he just changed the tenses. So, God said he will make them a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Say, okay, but you are the royal priesthood. You are. Same word. So, in a Christian hearing that, he gains confidence and he picks up ministry. He gains confidence and he grows up spiritually. He gains confidence. Colossians 1, see, go back to Exodus 6, verse 6. Let's see 2 or 3 more. We'll progress. Exodus 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will. Exodus 6 verse 6. Exodus 6 verse 6. Exodus 6 verse 6. Okay. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, 6 verse 6. One to go. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out hand and with great judgments. Very continue. I have an inspiration to tell you. Hope you know, listen to God's word. It's both academic and supernatural. It's both. As you're hearing, it looks academic, looks lethargic, but yet it's supernatural. This is how God wants to grow you up. That means we can see God's activity. We can see God working actively as you listen to God's word. As you mix your mind with the truth of God's word. As you mix your consciousness with what you are being told. You can see God at active work. Actively aligning your life according to his will. actively, not passively at all, actively, as you listen to God's word, making your life follow His will, telema, making your life follow His plan, follow His purpose, follow His inclination. Follow, making your life follow. As you listen to God's word, same way you get edified when you pray, when you listen to God's word, supernatural is at work. God is yet at work. So, Exodus 6 verse 6 again. Say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out hand and with great judgment. Colossians 1 verse 13. So that one he said, I will. Colossians 1:13, who art done, delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us. If you finish reading that Exodus, you see, I have now restored you. I will take you unto a land that I swore to your fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. But how did Paul put it here? I have translated you unto a kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son, 14, in whom you have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, the Spirit of Christ gives the assurance that God has done what He said He would do. That's what happened. That is why they have the confidence of rephrasing it. The Spirit of Christ gave that assurance that God has done what He said He will do. Okay, still remain. God has done what He said He will do. The Spirit of Christ gave that assurance that God has done what He said He will do. Genesis 12, verse 1. Well done. Genesis 12, verse 1. After this, someone can 50% done. Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. And also, I can easily give you the itinerary of next week so that teachers, everybody can plan your reviews. Next week will be very free. Just have an hour and a half on Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Friday, we pray for how many people have review exams on next week? Everybody. Awesome. So this Friday, we just have 2 hours prayers in the evening. That will just be 6 to 8. 6 to 8 on Friday. So review planners, everybody plan your time to do it very well. So just leave just more like an hour on Tuesday, then Wednesday, then 2 hours on Friday. So next week is for you. This week is for me. Amen. Even tomorrow is still for me. You don't know when I will end tomorrow's service. So Just sign. Just don't know. Just come. Now I don't have to announce that to you. All I need to do is to shut the door. It's easy. So Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. I'm coming to this tomorrow. Inside what we'll be teaching tomorrow. And I will cause what? Pastor Joy taught you. Don't allow labor to be there. And I will cause what? If she didn't touch you, I heard on live stream, she taught you very well. I will cause that which causeth you. You've forgotten. It's not in, it's that. What is the curse on man? Sin, right? Are you with me? So God said, so he's not saying in Galatians 3, he's not saying Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. At a certain curse is he that has hanged on a tree. So the curse of God fell on Christ. Amen? It's because what God is cursing from Genesis is sin. God did not curse Adam. God did not curse Eve. The curse of God is on sin. And anyone that gets identified with sin, he inherits that curse. That is why the curse of God is on sin, and anyone that gets identified with sin,
he inherits a curse. That is why both everlasting life and damnation, they are called inheritance.
Why is everlasting destruction called inheritance? Because the curse is not for you, it's for sin. So your only issue is that you love sin, you hug it so much. So because of that, you follow. Of course, not your portion.
So I will curse that which curses you, and it indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
So he said, I will bless you, I will bless them and bless you. But Ephesians 1 verse 3, he now said, Ephesians 1 verse 3, let me ask you this question. How do you bless a man of God? What's the primary thing in blessing a man of God?
Don't talk.
How do you bless a man of God? OTP. How do you bless a man of God? Huh? Your son said it better than you. Son, tell your father. You have to say by receiving what is the ministry done towards you. So I will bless them that bless you. How do you bless Abraham? Receiving the ministry. It's not primarily talking about those who give to you. When a man of God comes to your town, he say, he that receive you, right? You say, you can stay. I say, yes, abide with them. But anybody that rejects you, take your slippers and run away. And that's so. How do you receive him? It's not that I'm giving you food, but I don't like your preaching. No. To receive you is what he receives your word. Thank you. Sorry, I'm saying a lot. So he said, I will bless you, but I will. Futuristic, but Ephesians 1 verse 3. How did he put it? Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who will bless us? Who has blessed us? Done. Say done. Yeah, let's tell us a tie. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place, in Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen. Now, this is what I will now explain right now. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, he used chosen because of how Abraham was called. Or, he used chosen because of how Abraham's call was documented. That's preferred. That is very important, documentation. If you focus on reality, you will miss God. You must focus on documentation. How is it written? How is it presented? Just like Genesis 12, it was presented like out of the blues. God just called who? Abraham, right? It was presented like from nowhere. God just appeared and he said, Abraham, here I am. I will do this. And he said, yes, sir. That documentation, that pattern is a teaching in itself. It's teaching you something. Pay attention right now. I will explain this. Take another break. So, it is documented like a narrowed election. Now, if you don't listen very well when Pastor Joe was teaching, you have to go and find the message again.
So it was documented like a narrowed election, but in reality, it is because of acceptance. It was documented like a narrowed election, like just like God went to Abraham to just tell him something, but in reality, we know it's because of acceptance. I'm explaining this again, which we have done in this church before. I will do it again today. So, man's will is involved in everything. But the documentation talks more of God's action. Man's will is involved, but the documentation talks more of God's action. The documentation shows a God that specially loved the saved, or loved those who received the word. The documentation shows a God that specially delights in the one who received the word. Why? The documentation, like, it shows it that way. God has, you know, that specially happy. You have lost me somewhere. Yeah, sorry. No, you don't sit alone. That's the issue of sitting alone.
So documentation, it describes like God that specially loves somebody that has received the word. So it's not look like, okay, that means Abraham was specially chosen. Therefore, he received. No, some don't miss the point.
Wow, wow, wow.
Why was it written that way? God taking the glory for the willing heart. That's Romans 5 theory.
The way you should be grateful for the way that Romans 5 is clearly explained for you.
That is God taking the glory for a willing heart.
I will explain. Feel free. I will explain. Let me know when I don't write it. I will explain.
The willing heart is man's action, but God's gift. A willing heart, a teachable heart, somebody that hears God's word is man's action, but is deemed as what? God's gift. I will explain. For instance, you use your hand. See this, okay? You use this, your hand. Somebody is poor. You use your hand to give money to that poor. Somebody is sick. You use the hand to lay hands and the sick is healed. What have you done with your hand? You have served God with your hands, right? Praise God. So what have you done? What has the hand done? The hand has what? Served God. That's God's gift. Now, if you use the same hand in the bus stop to punch a conductor, what has the hand done? The hand has served Satan. Are you with me? So when a heart receives God's word, what do we call that heart? God's heart. When a heart rejects God's word, what do we call it? Sclerulo. Abi? S-K-L-E. Are you? It look like skele or something. Skele is that's hardness. Okon lile. So you could see that a heart could be called God's. Oh, that God say, oh, that's my heart. That's my heart. That's my heart. Not because it's God that made the decision. It's because that action is of God. Therefore, God takes the glory. But when the action is not of God, what happens? Skelero. Hardness of heart. Pay attention. So it will be man's action, but it will be written in either Satan's ledger or God's ledger. God's account or Satan's account. God's action or Satan's action. God's account or Satan's, sorry. It's all man's action, but it will be deemed God's ledger or Satan's ledger. That means it's written under the ledger. Oh, no ledger. Accountancy. Where is it, or God's account or Satan's account. So actions of faith, they are deemed in God's ledger because they are actions first done by God. Actions of faith are deemed in God's ledger because they are actions first done by God. God is the originator of faith. I will explain now. Actions of faith, they are deemed God's ledger. Why? Because they are actions first done by who? Actions first orchestrated by God. Okay, let me now tell you a one that everybody can relate with. Let me know. Don't write. A guy in the, I think it should be in the 80s.
is called an Omgo,
and his name was Escobar.
After then, when you score Omgo, what they call you? They call you the same name. Oh, Escobar. Some of you don't even know the origin. He's one of the people, first people that scored in his own.
You understand now? You don't know watch football again because I'm talking to you from the world. You scored
a home goal. So you're not saying, oh, Ronaldo. No.
They will say, well, I know Ronaldo doesn't score home goal before the Ronaldo nice. Come after me. So Ronaldonians. So of course Messi can never score a home goal. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not impossible.
Okay, so anybody that does the same thing after him, what they call him?
Escobar. Escobar. You can give me more examples.
Why they call a bag Ghana must go?
Because that was a bag that some people years ago used to pack their load back to their country. So anytime they now see the bag, ends for what's his name? Ghana must go.
Does it mean that is the same one they used years ago? No, it's a new bag. But the first people that used it, they just inherited it. Same way.
Now start writing.
Same way. God was the one who first orchestrated obedience.
Hallelujah.
God was the first one to orchestrate, to demonstrate obedience. When he submitted himself to man's will, when he submitted himself to the will of man, he was the first one to orchestrate obedience, to demonstrate obedience. When he chose to live for man, creating everything for man, obedience. Enduring man, obedience. Creating everything for man, obedience. Living for man, obedience. Submitting to man's will, obedience. Enduring man, obedience. Saving man by obeying till death, obedience.
It was God.
Saving man by obeying man till death, obedience.
So, any future obedience will be deemed as in God's ledger to be called God's action. Even before the death of Christ, God has been living for man. He answers his prayers, made the heart for him. Amen. In fact, Christ is ready to die from Genesis. It's only that he died later.
So why are we called chosen? That is judging the beginning with the end.
God. That is judging the beginning. Write that and think about it. That means, Abraham, why are you called chosen?
Why?
We have seen the end of Abraham that he eventually believed, right? Are you with me? Because he eventually believed the gospel.
These things are written after it has happened. Okay? So Moses looked at the lifespan of Abraham. This man, at the end of the day, he believed the gospel. So because I know, if you do video editing, you understand what I'm saying? You have a theme like this. Okay, this is the theme. You first go to the end. What is there? He believed the gospel. Therefore, the beginning, I just come to the beginning and I edit, chosen of God. I stretch out the theme. You know the former Fuji film? You know the former, you have forgotten. Kodak. Stretch out. You see your negative, right? See negative. Snap some of them. It will be white, plain. You say, and it's wedding. Money wasted. That's the end. Once negative is wow, you can something you can do. Thank God for digital world. So Moses now stretch out the life of Pharaoh. He look at the end, say, Skerulo, he didn't believe. So there he now came to the beginning, say, child of wrath. Is it clear? That means you now, you cannot go to the street and say, you, child of wrath, you, chosen. No. You can only say that over someone that has lived and died. A lifespan sin. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. When he lived, when? After the whole event. He outlived Pharaoh. He wrote everything after Pharaoh has done what he wants to do. So he just picked their life. Say, you are your life. Let me use you to write about what wrote so from the beginning. I simply judge your beginning from your end.
Okay. Thank you. So, Romans 9 again now. Romans 9. So if you refuse to believe, you won't be called the chosen of God. That means I can't go to the street and say, you are chosen. You are not chosen. No. It's after everything. Romans 9. Are you there? Okay, just go through the chapter again. As we have done a couple of times. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Are you there? That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Are you there? Verse 4. Who are Israelites to whom pertains to the adoption, the glory, the covenant. He was talking about their qualifications, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. That means it's like they deserve to be saved. Follow me, oh. It's like, oh, these people, see what they have, the law, they have this, they have that. That means, oh, they deserve it. He's now using their life to teach something because he has seen their end. This guy is rejected. So he said, oh, see these people now, they deserve to be saved by human standard. But guess what? God does not save by human standard. He saves his way. Not because you qualify. God saves his own way. Not because you qualify. That is the subject matter. That God will save his own way, which is in Christ, not because you qualify. So he's trying to use their life right now of Israel to talk about how you cannot trick God outside his way. How God will not go outside his perimeter for you, for your sake. Are you with me? Okay, see verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Now, verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Wow. 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac, wow, shall thy seed be called. So, he kept showing them how God kept teaching them about his choice. Let me go back to verse 6. He's saying, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. What's the meaning of that? Because later, if you read later, you see that even the tribe of Israel, later they divided, right? 10 parts became Israel, Benjamin and Judah, they became Jerusalem. So he's saying, even inside, that's why later, after the reign of Solomon, you now have the king of Judah and the king of Israel. Different. So he's now saying, even inside Israel, there is still a choice. That means that I am bearing, like you're saying, there is always God's choice. Simple. See, just don't worry, pay attention, you see it. 7, say, not because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac. He's saying that even when Abraham had plenty of children, God made a choice. Are you with me? This is documentation. God did not make a choice to Abraham. God made a choice to himself. Documentation. Okay, hold on. So, he kept showing how God kept teaching them about his choice, his election.
Meaning salvation will be in what I say. Salvation will be in my promise, not in what you do. So in that way, how God keeps saying, my choice, my choice, my choice, meaning God has a choice. God has a choice. He has a way. Some people will say, well, anyhow you do, if you worship Obatala, you will get to heaven. Worship Muhammad, you get to heaven. Worship this, worship that, you get to heaven. Well, you are misguided. God has a way. Some people say, well, Christianity is just one of the many doors that leads to heaven. You are tired. Very tired. Very tired. God has a choice. So you now say, it's not say, for instance, remember Abraham. Okay, Abraham had plenty of children, right? So, but you say, God said, in Isaac. Okay, Isaac has Esau and Jacob, right? And God said, oh, in Jacob. Jacob has 12 children, right? God said, in Judah. Are you with me? Not even Joseph that qualified, but Joseph is a good child. So it's in Judah. Meaning that, firstly, God will always have a choice. That you are serving a God of choice. That's all. A God that selects what he wants. Thank you. Verse 8, that is, they which are of the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Verse 9, for this is the word of God, this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. That means we are not talking about Esau or Jacob. What are we talking about? That the purpose of God according to election might stand. That is what we are talking about. So it's like, okay, if Liz Benson and Zakoji, if they married in a movie, hello? Does that mean in reality they are married? No. But because the movie is communicating a story. Are you with me? So therefore, the script says they are married to teach you something. That is not what happened. For instance, like we are going to read, Esau never served Jacob any day. So, but documentation is teaching you. The drama director, which is Moses, right? That's Baba. That man, after you worship Jesus in heaven, you have to go and see that man. Say, ah, bros, well done. And I say, you just say, you just ask you, do you know the word? Because, and you see people with his staff, right? Say, you know the word. Hey, do you know the meaning of this staff? You don't read the area. I'll show you. Show you. When Jesus goes out, I'll show you. Just come back. No, awesome man. Anyway, so that is Moses. Again, who wrote about them? Moses. Moses was using their life to show you a doctrine in God. Thank you. So that's why he said Esau has not done anything when God said this. Esau has not done anything wrong. Both Esau and Jacob, they are both. Two of them are very unserious people. Esau is very lazy. Jacob is very lazy. And Esau is, we'll get to Esau's own later. That's the next part. So it was said unto her. Again, let me read verse 11 again. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. So, this is not discussing the personal life of Esau and Jacob. This is mostly using their story to teach a story in Christ. Praise God. That's Moses. He's using their story to teach election in Christ. A choice. So, God will save his own way. I'm sure that is written. God will save his own way. God will save man his own way. God will save man his own way. God will save man his own way. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Wow. I will have compassion on whom I will have what? Compassion. So this is to express what? Mercy will be found where I say it is. I will have mercy on whom? Where will you find my mercy? Where I say it is. So he's saying, Israel, you might have done these plenty things. You might have worshipped me for years. You might have built temple. You may have the law. Yet, my mercy is still where I say it is. Where? Faith in Christ. Thank you. Faith in Christ. So, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Moses, now see 16. So then it is not of him that will, okay? It is not of him that runneth, it is of God's choice. God that showeth mercy. It is about the location of God's mercy. You can be the fastest man on the wrong direction. Just like Paul before. He was so zealous with the religious of the Jews. He was willing, right? Right? Is that a willingness? Yes, that's willingness. But is it correct? No. Some of us, we see the sacrifice of some maybe Muslims or some pagans or some. Say, wow. See how sacrificial. See how, opinion some people, some religions, they won't give more than you. Are you with me? They give, do this. Yes, let's show love. Let's love everybody. Let's pay this. Let's pay that. But God is saying, my mercy is not in your action. My mercy is where I say it is. And where is my mercy? Faith in Jesus. You can be the fastest man on the wrong lane. And you run the best. It's not of him that will it. So that means something must come before willingness. Find what you must will for. Find the destination. Find the will of God before you start willing. Find the choice of God before you start willing. Thank you. I must use these plenty repetitive words because of you, because of those who will listen to this message later. And they will have to get the same concept. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose have I what? Raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Why? Well, how was it so? It was written after it was done. Simple. This is not to judge Pharaoh's end from the beginning. This is judging Pharaoh's beginning from his end. This is not judging Pharaoh's end from the beginning. This is judging Pharaoh's beginning, glory to God, from his end.
Is your head getting hot? Check what you just wrote in the last 3-4 lines. I'm sure you understand. Vantis to go vanti pon tik. Give some break. Come back in 10 minutes.